Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast, brought to you by the Bose Public Affairs Group at Bose, McKinney & Evans. I'm your host, Jason Dozier. Thanks again for being with us this week. On this week's program, we'll hear from Allison Justice, Ph.D., owner of the hemp mine in Fairplay, South Carolina. Allison will discuss the 2018 and 19 hemp growing seasons in South Carolina and what to look out for in 2020. But first, just a couple reminders. You do still have time to attend the Small Farm Conference 2020 this weekend at the Hendricks County 4-H Fairgrounds in Danville. The event, which features guest speakers, seminar sessions, and more than 50 vendors, starts today and goes through Saturday, March 7th. So check the Midwest Hemp Council website for more details and a link to the event. On the website, you'll also find links to the Industry Open House on March 16th and the Purdue Extension Hemp Workshop on the 17th, as well as the Industrial Hemp Production Workshop on March 24th. So go check all that out, as well as over a year's worth of weekly podcast, a lot of other information on the website, MidwestHempCouncil.com. So let's get to this week's program. Let's get it kicked off with Allison Justice, owner of the hemp farm in Fairplay, South Carolina. Allison, thanks for being with us, and I hope you're doing well today.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I know you guys have had some really chilly weather down there in the south the past few weeks. How are things going down there today?
Oh, gosh. It's flash floods, basically.
Oh, really?
Yeah. During planting season, when we needed rain, it wouldn't. And now being winter, it's washing away all our topsoil. So it's been a rough season.
And of course, for people who don't know where Fairplay, South Carolina is, it's located, from the way I see it, south of the Smoky Mountains, the western kind of tip there of South Carolina. And you guys are kind of about almost halfway between Atlanta and Charlotte. Would that be a pretty accurate assessment?
Yeah, exactly. Right there on the Georgia border.
And so being there south of the Smokies, does that, as far as just agriculture in general, is that good weather, good soil, good land down there for agriculture?
Yes and no. Our winter season's a little milder than, say, the folks more south in the state.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we still have, a clay loam. And so, depending on where you're looking, you might have just complete red soil. And then some places, really where we've amended, the soil would be much better quality. But it is very variable, let's say.
Mm-hmm. Now, Allison, tell us how you got in the hemp industry.
Absolutely. So I graduated Clemson with my PhD. And after that, I did a lot of consulting for large greenhouses around the country, mainly for IPM. And it kind of crossed over into marijuana, started consulting, and ended up, long story short, was in San Diego for about 3.5 years working for a medical marijuana company. I was the VP of cultivation there. And In the meantime, South Carolina passed the bill to grow hemp, and my family, all being farmers, they got one of the first 20 permits. And so about a year went on or so, and ended up moving back. It was going so good. And so now the hemp mine is ran by myself and my brother, sister, and mom.
And again, this is, as you said, this was three generations of a farming family. Are you putting all your efforts into hemp now, or do you guys diversify?
We are hemp only. Mm-hmm. I guess we do technically still have a little bit of cattle left, but nothing compared to what we did have. All our fields were for cattle. Most recently, before that, soy and cotton and hay, basically.
Right.
But yeah, mainly hemp. But we're vertically integrated, so we do dabble in about everything from extraction to consumer products to breeding.
So you grow your own hemp, and you're also involved in the extraction of the hemp oil. Tell us what else is involved with the business.
Yep. So the extraction facility is actually a co-ownership between us and then Alco, the company I was working with in California.
Mm-hmm.
But the actual growing of the plant and the breeding and our consumer sales side, that's all the hemp mine. And so family plus plus one of the other owners, Travis Higginbotham. He might as well be a brother. He's one of the owners of the hemp mine as well. But it's nice being vertically integrated, especially in a time where regulation is just all over the place. You know, it's nice not just doing one thing where when, for example, say in South Carolina last year, they allowed for smokable flower. And then all of a sudden, without any true regulation changes, they decided law should be interpreted a different way and that smokables should be banned. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as a business, it was our best seller. And, you know, we were ramping up and ramping up. And then all of a sudden that's pulled out from under you. And so, you know, not just having that as our only form of, you know, really income coming in, it was very helpful just, you know, pivoting and focusing on other stuff that we already had in the works.
Now, you guys, on your website, you do have a couple blog posts there, one referring to the USDA's interim final rule. I know you guys certainly had some opinions on that. What were some of your concerns there with the USDA interim final rule?
You know, there were a good bit, and I welcome everybody to read on it. I was pretty thorough, I think. But the two biggest were, one being the form of THC. And I understand that in federal regulation, it states, 0.3 decarboxylation is needed, et cetera. But the real struggle here is, you know, a lot of these pilot programs, including South Carolina, have been working differently or working under a different sort of regulation. So, you know, going on year three in South Carolina, we are just finally, you know, working out lots of the kinks, you know, learning how to grow, learning who to get plants from, learning sure. who to trust in extraction. And so you're going in that next year thinking, oh, I'm going to plant this cultivar because I've got to know it. I know how to do it well. Mm-hmm. And the federal government comes in and says total THC. And so for South Carolina and other Delta 9 type states, you're kind of starting at ground one. And so it's a struggle. And it's a struggle when you can take that biomass and go interstate. And if you're a total THC and you're only growing, you know, you're maybe maxing out at 6 or 8% versus someone else who is still growing under the Delta 9 laws, you know, getting 18 to 20%. Of course, the extractor is going to pick the one with the higher potency. Sure. So that's a struggle. And then the other one is the testing before harvest, which mm-hmm. now is at 15 days. Prior mm-hmm. in South Carolina, it was 30. And so, you know, just knowing how random weather can be and knowing, you know, how busy the ag department is in general, just knowing that, you know, if day 15 comes and, you know, maybe the state's backed up and they don't get there until a day before harvest or, you know, expected harvest, and then it rains and you have 100 acres, you know, there could just be a lot of disasters that lined up. So I think that number really needs to change, because that could be detrimental for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Well, Allison, you said early on that it's a very wet time right now for South Carolina, the western part of South Carolina. How does that compare with what you went through last year, the 2019 season?
Oh, it was extremely dry. I think probably the driest spring and summer we've had, at least in my lifetime.
That certainly contradicts what we had here in Indiana. We had a lot of wet weather early, and that was really hampering the farmers getting the crops into the ground. So you had the opposite effect there down south of the Smokies.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, for you guys, I know a lot of rain is a struggle to get the plants in the field. But at the same time, not having rain at all, and mm-hmm. even though we had drip irrigation, you know, the emitters are 24 inches apart. And so if you're thinking about small transplants trying to develop roots, you know, that one emitter might be missing your transplant, even if you do water it in and there's no rain for a few weeks. So definitely struggles in both situations.
All right, so a handful of farmers were able to plant hemp there in South Carolina in 2018. Of course, they opened it up a lot more in 2019. Can you talk about some of the things that were learned between that first and second season for the hemp community in South Carolina?
Sure. So one thing was it went from 20 licenses to unlimited. And so, you know, a lot more people farming. You know, I would love to say year one, we buttoned everything up and, you know, got rid of some of the snake oil salesmen that, you know, might have ruined that first season for some farmers. And year two was just great. But, you know, it just brings on another flush of whether it's genetic providers or extractors that don't pay or, you know, whatever the problem may be. A lot of the same problems between year one and two. You know, I think individually, depending on the farm, a lot of folks were able to, you know, just learn growing practices in general and succeed more the next year. I know our farm did, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on certain kind of small cultivation tips that you learn over time. But yeah, it's a fun industry, but at the same time, it's hard and well, it's farming.
Oh, there's no question about it. Now, from the first year to the second year, again, according to you, that second year started off with a drought. How did the first year go weather-wise? Did it go a lot more smoother than the second year? And then what would have been the response there for those, the additional farmers that jumped in year two?
Well, you know, the spring planting of the first year was, I guess, kind of normal. I mean, we always have sort of sporadic weather, but, you know, year two was just drought, just complete drought. So, you know, year one planting season was fine. It was kind of normal. But then what really hurt us was there towards harvest of year one, the hurricane came. And so, you know, we're way up in the west corner, so we actually ended up being okay, but a lot of the state really struggled from the winds and the rain of the hurricane that was there right at harvest. So the buds were really heavy, and, you know, the slight amount of wind and rain just makes the plant split, and so a lot of crops were lost.
And again, and that brings us to another point. South Carolina is kind of shaped, I don't know, for lack of a better term, maybe like a diamond. You guys are up in the northern central part of the state. So it's quite a wide state, goes out to Myrtle Beach. Would you say that the agriculture is the same throughout the state, or are there big differences regarding the climate or the soil?
Yeah, there's actually quite a bit of difference. You know, downstate towards the coast, it's a lot sandier type soil. And due to that, there was, and to some extent is still, a lot more tobacco farming. And so that is, you know, a lot of the farmers on the coast are either past or are still farming tobacco. They're just supplementing in hemp, you know, seeing how it goes and seeing if it can be a complete replacement.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, that first year, the hurricanes with really, you know, light sandy soil was really tough for them, because even the plants you are able to salvage, they roll around in the sand because they're farming in a tobacco style where they're cultivating between the rows. And so it's just sand. And so the sticky buds fall in the sand, and then the extractors reject it because it's really hard to get the sand off.
Hmm.
So, yeah, there were a few farms where it was just, you know, ultimately very disastrous for. But hope, you know, thank goodness they also capped it at 20 acres. So, you know, it wasn't hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of acres that were ruined.
So now, do you think most people would look at that area as not really all that inviting for hemp?
You know, yes and no. On one hand, it's better because it's well drained, and, you know, they have all the equipment already, and, you know, it's a good environment. And mm-hmm. So it's really just all dependent on what hurricane season looks like.
Oh, there you go. That's something, of course, you can never predict in the Carolinas, without question. And again, we're speaking with Allison Justice, the owner and founder of the Hemp Mine in Fairplay, South Carolina. And we'll let you go here. A couple more quick questions, though. What's the hemp community like in the South Carolina or the Carolinas area? Are there a lot of events, folks getting together and kind of putting their heads together to make that work down there?
Absolutely. You know, we have associations, You know, there's basically clubs, you know, the Farm Bureau is very active. So it's a really good community. And, you know, the outside of our farming community, the people have just been great. You know, year one, we actually did deal a lot with theft. I think it was just so new in this area that, you know, people wanted to hop fence and grab some. But, you know, after a few people went to jail, that really stopped. And so year two wasn't so bad. There were a few arrests within the state, but not quite so bad. And yeah, people have just been great, very accepting, to the point, something I never thought, my niece's volleyball team has us as a sponsor. And so the hemp mine is on their jersey. It's just something I would have never, ever imagined. So
that is great. And Allison, one last thing we'll leave you with. Your opinion of the future of hemp there in South Carolina. Again, how many licenses do you think will be out there this year? And again, your view of what you could look forward to with hemp in South Carolina.
Well, I would imagine there would be around 300 this next growing season. And, you know, I think the success is going to depend on a recent bill that's been submitted to the state. I think it's 5422, which states that growers from the 2019 period may continue under the pilot program in 2020, meaning they could still potentially grow their same cultivars from last year. But again, like a hurricane, we don't know which way that bill is going to go. So we'll see.
And Allison, do you think there can be such a thing as too many farmers in a given area growing one particular crop like hemp?
Yeah, there could be. You know, it's going to be really interesting to see how CBD consumption shakes out. You know, is it going to increase? And, you know, all it takes is Coca-Cola or one of the big companies to implement it into their goods. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that demand just skyrocket, even though there's excess now. So I don't know. You know, I'd love to make my guesses on what's going to happen. But so far, it's, you know, I've never been dead on. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Well, there we go. Once again, Allison Justice, owner and founder of the Hemp Mine in Fairplay, South Carolina. Allison, how can folks get a hold of you or get more information about the Hemp Mine and other things you're involved with?
Absolutely. So you can find us online at thehempmine.com. Shoot me an email at Allison's, Allison, at thehempmine.com. Or find us on Instagram, thehempmine.com, or Allison, or, I'm sorry, dr.justice_grows.
All right. Thanks again, Allison. And that is going to do it for this week's show. Thanks for listening to the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast, brought to you by the Bose Public Affairs Group at Bose, McKinney & Evans. You can find more information about the Midwest Hemp Council, as well as our entire catalog of podcasts, on our website, MidwestHempCouncil.com. I'm your host, Jason Dozier. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll be back next week with more. So long, everybody.